Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 22.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and guests are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This afternoon's prayer will be offered by Representative Lambeth. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and to remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Lambeth.
What an awesome sight. If you would join with me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, today we feel blessed and we are thankful for this day you have given to us, a day to make a difference for so many others, a day to help those who are less fortunate, struggling with an illness, hunger, depression, financial problems, or other issues you only know of. A day for us to give thanks for so many of our citizens who helped to lead our great nation and state. A day to thank our military and their families, our firefighters, our police, and sheriff. A day to thank our farmers, our fishermen, workers who support our industries, our schools, our health care providers, and the many others who make North Carolina the great state it is. Now as we go into another session, watch over and bless each member in this place, including their families who support them while they are away. In your name we pray, amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for March 5th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves that the journal for March 5th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved as written. Members, please join me in welcoming with us our nurse of the day, Tammy Woods from Salisbury. Ms. Woods, thank you for being with us. Ask our pages to please come forward. Chair Director Rule 12D, be suspended for the day. Members, if I could have your attention, please. Of course, our pages have been serving with us since Monday, but we did an informal welcome on Monday, but told them we wanted to more formally welcome them and have them introduced to you today since we're actually having votes today. Pages, when the clerk calls your name, if you would wave or step forward something so each of the members will know who you are. Clerk will introduce the pages.
Asher Ager, Buncombe County. Sponsor, Representative John Ager. Lauren Bailey, Wake County. Sponsor, Representative James Bowles. Raymond Bernhall, Gaston County. Sponsor, Speaker Tim Moore. Charlene Chavez Jimenez, Union County. Representative Craig Horn, sponsor. Shania Davis, Mecklenburg County. Sponsors, Speaker Tim Moore. Murray Domes, Union County. Sponsor, Speaker Tim Moore. Nevaeh Griffin, Forsyth County. Sponsor, Speaker Tim Moore. Ivy Herring, Pender County. Sponsor, Representative Carson Smith. Emily Mars, Randolph County. Sponsor, Representative Pat Hurley. Jackson Omohundro, Guilford County. Sponsor, Representative Pricey Harrison. Colby Parks, Union County. Sponsor, Representative Craig Horn. Ashton Sasser, Sampson County. Sponsor, Representative David Lewis.
Members, ask that you please join me in welcoming our pages here with us this week. Thank you. You may return to your post. Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren recognized to send forth a committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Setzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren. Finance Committee report. House Bill 84, City of Kannapolis Annexation, favor and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to Rules.
House Bill 241, Education Board Act of 2019, favor and referred to Appropriations Capital.
Bill is referred to Appropriations Capital.
Senate Bill 56, Revenue Laws Technical Changes, favor and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bill is referred to Rules. Representatives Davis and Stevens recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report. House Bill 125, GCS, Revised Uniform Athletic Agents Act, favor and referred to Finance.
Bill is referred to Finance.
House Bill 141, PED Study, PPS, Health Services Fund for FTE, favorable and referred to Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety.
Bills referred to the Committee on Appropriations, Justice, and Public Safety. Representatives Corbin and Warren are recognized and forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. House Bill 39, adopted Oprah as a state raptor, favorable and referred to Wildlife Resources.
Bills referred to Wildlife Resources.
House Bill 115, Even Year Elections, Town of Biltmore Forest, favorable and referred to Elections and Ethic Laws.
Bills referred to Elections and Ethics Law.
House Bill 129, Power Bill, Use of Parks, favorable and referred to Transportation.
Bills referred to Transportation.
House Bill 171, China Grove Satellite Annexation, favorable and referred to Finance.
Referred to Finance.
House Bill, Senate Bill 4, extend terms for two members, Coastal Carolina succeeds, favorable and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Bills referred to Rules. Representatives Davis Stevens recognized to send forth committee report. Clerk will read. Actually, they're recognized to send forth those two additional reports.
Representatives Davis Stevens, Judiciary Committee report, House Bill 224. Assault with firearm, the LEO, increased punishment, favor committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes refer to the Committee on Rules.
Representative Davis and Stevens, Judiciary Committee report, House Bill 138, damage jail and prison fire sprinklers penalty, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and refer to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes refer to the Committee on Rules. Representatives Corbin and Warren recognize and forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representatives Corbin and Warren, State and Local Government Committee report. House Bill 85, Emissions, Onslow County. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. Committee substitutes referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 104, Litter Definition Clarification. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Transportation.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The committee substitutes referred to Transportation.
Senate Bill 12, Alexander County Sheriff Vacancies. Favorable House Committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill is placed on the unfavorable calendar. House Committee substitutes referred to Committee on Rules. Members, we'll take up introductions of bills and resolutions later on. We're going to go ahead and move on to the calendar. Calendar, House Bill 4, the clerk will read.
Representative Setzer, House Bill 4, bill to be entitled an act removing certain described property from the corporate limits of the City of Claremont. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, this is a very simple, non-controversial bill that de-annex a piece of property from the City of Claremont that was brought in accidentally by the city. I would appreciate your support.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 4 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Goodman, gentlemen wish to vote on this? Clerk lock machine record the vote. 116 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 4 passes second reading and remains on the calendar. House Bill 7, the clerk will read.
Representative Corbin, House Bill 7, a bill to be entitled an act to create Graham County District G and authorize the levy on an occupancy tax in the district. General Assembly of North Carolina, next.
Gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This also is a bill that only affects Graham County, North Carolina. It is not controversial. As a matter of fact, this came to me as a resolution from all five of the county commissioners, and they asked for this last year, and we didn't quite get it done, but they have a separate resolution. All this does is creates an area outside of the municipalities, which include Lake Santilla, Fontana Dam, and Robbinsville, all very small towns, and this creates an area outside of those municipalities that a 3% occupancy tax can be levied. And if you're thinking, well, I'm not going to vote for anything that has the word tax in it, let me refer you to the end of the bill. All this does is makes it the same for one of my small counties as it does 85 of your counties. So most counties already do this, and I'm just adding Graham County to that to kind of level the playing field for them. As a matter of fact, it will create a less tax burden on folks in Graham County to have this because tourists will be paying this this fee. So I would ask you to vote for this. It passed through state and local government, finance, occupancy tax subcommittee, full finance, and rules without incident. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, passage of House Bill 7 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote.
Let's see. Stokes County.
The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 105 having voted in the affirmative, 10 the negative. House Bill 7 passed the second reading and will remain on the calendar. Members, the next two bills, House Bills 52 and 59, can be grouped together for one vote. Is there any objection to those bills being grouped together? Hearing none, the chair directs that those bills be grouped. The clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 52, a bill to be entitled an act to allow lands owned by the town of Wrightsville Beach and be used by the benefit of the public and to allow the town to regulate certain private businesses operating for those lands. Representatives Conrad and Montgomery, House Bill 59, a bill to be entitled an act authorizing the city of Winston-Salem to convey city-owned real property for the purpose of increasing the supply of affordable housing and low and moderate income persons. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bills 52 and 59 on second reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. House Bills 52 and 59, having passed second reading, will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of House Bills 52 and 59 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bills 52 and 59, having passed third reading, ordered sent to the Senate. Members, the chair has a number of recognitions we'll do at this time. On motion of Representatives Ross and Riddell of Alamance County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Cassidy Clower, Eva Page, and Amber Henry. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? Over here to the left. Thank you. On motion of the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to following individuals who are here for the Campbell University White Coat Wednesday at the North Carolina General Assembly. And if y'all would please stand as we call your name, Andrew Aston, Emil Pinto, Aaron Clark, Kara Smith, Natalie Alcott, Chris Walker, Dr. Robin King Thiel, Dr. Stephen DeMayo, Dr. Britt Davis, and Ms. Sarah Bowman. Thank you all for being with us today. On motion of Representative Fisher and all members of the Buncombe County delegation, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Zella Roberts, Brianne Goff, Michelle Padrone, Carl Schwartz, Grace Gilliam, Evan Heron, Zoe Reiner, Sawyer Bryan, Armenia Hidalgo, Abby Rayside, Miguel Hernandez, and Professor Sarah Himmelieber, all of the above from Warren Wilson College in Swannanoa. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome? Thanks for being with us. Also, on motion of the gentlemen, the members from Onslow, Representatives Shepherd and Cleveland, Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to a number of ladies here from the Onslow Republican Women. If y'all would please stand as we call your name. Chris Lee, Barbara Walter, and Sandra Griffin. Mayor, thanks for being with us today. Also, a special note on behalf of the gentleman from Moore, Representative Bowles. This week, the great granddaughter of former Speaker of the House, Clifton H. Blue, is his page this week, Lauren Bailey. So she's here with us today. So where's Lauren? Is she in the back? So, Lauren, thanks again. House Bill 114, the clerk will read.
Representatives Lambert, Dobson, and Howard. House Bill 114, a bill to be entitled an act to direct unpaid health plans licensed to the Department of Insurance to the gross minimums tax. General Assembly, North Carolina, annexed.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambert, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 114 is a necessary next step in our transformation of our Medicaid reform efforts that started way back in 2014. And are closer now to reality. When we designed the reform plan, we also created new terms and phrases like prepaid health plans, provider-led entities, risk-based capitation, etc. Last session in House Bill 156, we passed legislation that stated it was the intent of the General Assembly to enact legislation that will ensure that the premium tax applied to capitated payments received by prepaid health plans would be passed this session. Each commercial plan currently pays this premium tax, and so this adds to the definition under a tax code these new terms so that this tax is applied to the Medicaid reform efforts. It's fairly straightforward. Although it is a tax bill, it is primarily focused around definitions. I am aware of no opposition to this bill as it was expected, and commercial plans currently pay this premium. And as I said, it just adds these new definitions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, the passage of House Bill 114 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Lock Machine record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 4 in the negative. House Bill 114 passes second reading and remains on the calendar. House Bill 130, the clerk will read. House Bill 30.
Representative Torbett, House Bill 30, a bill to be entitled an act to adopt ice cream as the official state frozen treat. General Assembly of North Carolina annexed.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torb, recognized to briefly debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I will before it melts. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, a couple weeks ago, I came across a group of fourth graders from Gaston Day School, and this is their assignment for this year, was to create a bill to celebrate the state's frozen treat as ice cream. They have tracked this all the way through the process. They are listening even now as we go through one of the final phases prior to crossover of passing this on the floor. I'd appreciate a good hearty vote for my friends, the fourth graders in Ms. Connor's class at Gaston Day School.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 30 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. It's a close vote. Clerk Lock Machine, record the vote. 116 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 30 passes second reading and will without objection be read a third time.
Joe Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. The passage of House Bill 30 on third reading. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 30, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. For what purpose the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rises?
For a point of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, had I done this prior to the vote, I could have been told or I guess committed one of those people that come and see us, what are they called? Lobbyists, that's right. I could have been lobbying for this bill. But there's two things that happen. One is when you pass an ice cream bill, you get ice cream. If you notice in the back of the chamber, and this goes for the pages too, but wait, there's more.
All right.
Also, when you have ice cream, we all remember typically it's somebody's birthday. So in honor of the fourth graders at Miss Connor's class and rules chair to David Lewis's birthday, ice cream for everyone.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Members, the chair has already suspended Rule 12D, so enjoy. What purpose, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, they say that good things come in pairs. There's also a saying that bad things may come in pairs. Today is also Representative McGrady's birthday, so I would encourage folks to enjoy the ice cream or whatever name they want to do with it.
What purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. An inquiry to the chair.
And gentleman's recognized for an inquiry to the chair.
Would the chair consider suspending the rule about having food on the floor while we enjoy this nice state frozen treat?
We already did that. So
thank you, sir.
You are free to have all you want there. House Bill 57, the clerk will read.
Representatives Elmore, Johnson, and Horn, House Bill 57, a bill to be entitled Act to create a term for public schools to include various types of public schools in the state and to codify the North Carolina Virtual Public School Program. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
And Representative Elmore, I don't think these members are walking out on your speech. I think they're just going for the ice cream in the back right now.
That is all right, Mr. Speaker.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you. I'm not bringing you ice cream, but I'm bringing you a technical bill. Very exciting. The first part of the bill creates a new term called the public school unit. So when in the future, when legislation is drafted, they can use that term. If it affects all of our public schools, that will help the drafters in the future. And then the last part is taking scattered language that is all over the statutes and putting it in one place, dealing with the North Carolina Virtual Public School. I appreciate your support on the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 57 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will... I won't do that to you.
What's the name of this finger ice cream? What's the name of the C-State's ice cream?
Right. Mr. Speaker,
we're in a vote. Someone's the vote is still open. So, if members who have not voted, the chair is holding the vote open so members can get to their desk. Members who have not yet recorded: Brockman, Autry, Riddell. Now, just Brockman and Riddell. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Bill 57 passes second reading. And will that objection be read a third time?
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question, for what purpose the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
For a point of personal privilege, very briefly.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you. Now, you probably have some of that lovely ice cream. If you're a UNC fan, you might want to take note that this is the wonderful product from Howling Cow Ice Cream from North Carolina State University.
For what purpose the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
for a point of personal privilege.
May he's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
I have to say to the bill sponsor and his fourth grade class, I am mightily impressed with the whole process. And I promise that if you all ever get a chance to pass my golden orb spider bill, I will bring spiders to the General Assembly.
I'm not sure how to respond to that one, Representative Fisher. For what purpose does, we are still on third reading. For what purpose does the lady from Iredell, Representative Turner, rise?
Sorry, I need a point of personal privilege.
Please recognize to speak to a point of personal privilege.
We also want to celebrate my seatmate's birthday, which was yesterday, so I missed it. So celebrate her birthday with this ice cream, too. Thank you.
Thanks. Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 57 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed will say no. The clerk will open the vote. Actually, will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it. House Bill 57, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 73, the clerk will read.
Representatives Torbett, Lewis, Dobson, and Bell, House Bill 73, a bill to be entitled an act to ensure instruction of civic responsibility in elementary, middle, and high school courses, General Assembly of North Carolina Enact.
Who's handling this bill? This is Torbett, Lewis, Dobson, or Bell. Chair's going to displace the bill. We'll come back to it momentarily. We'll move on to House Bill 218. The clerk will read.
Representatives Hall, Sane, and Jones, House Bill 218, a bill to be entitled an act to require that the proceedings of the House of Representatives are broadcast to the general public and to study the feasibility of televising all sessions. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 218 requires the House to broadcast our daily sessions through the General Assembly's website. It requires those broadcasts to be archived so that folks can go back and look at them later. It requires UNCTV to televise daily sessions of the House that are of particular public importance. It also creates a House study committee to take a look at potentially creating a new UNCTV channel to be used, if not exclusively, almost exclusively, for purposes of broadcasting on TV sessions of the North Carolina House. So it would be an NC C-SPAN, if you will. This bill is about transparency. It's about making sure that folks across our state can tune in and watch what their government's doing. We're actually way behind the curve when compared to other states when it comes to broadcasting our sessions of the General Assembly. 43 states broadcast video in some form or fashion at their respective state legislatures. South Carolina is a great example of that. They put their sessions, both House and Senate, as well as their committee meetings, on video for folks to be able to go and watch that. In South Carolina, which of course has about half the population of North Carolina, over a six-month period in 2018, they had over 1 million unique viewers to their website to watch sessions of the General Assembly. Again, a state half the size as ours. As you know, we currently don't broadcast any video whatsoever from our chambers or from our committee rooms. We've worked with Kelly McCullen, who's the executive director of the UNC channel. They've said this is plausible. They're excited about it. They're excited to work with us on making this a reality. The cost, I don't know if the fiscal note shows up on the dashboard or not, but we've gotten that last night. The initial cost is just north of $300,000, and then there will be an annual cost after that of somewhere around $75,000, and that's for the position that's potentially created through ISD in order to handle the tech portion of this. So the technology exists to put cameras, for example, in this chamber on, you know, wherever strategically they should be located. And when you're recognized by the speaker, so for example, at this point, obviously, I've been recognized by the speaker, those cameras automatically zoom in on the member who's been recognized, and a ribbon comes up, and it'll say the name of the member and their district. This is what's done in South Carolina. It makes it extremely simple to know who's talking and what's going on.
like I said, at the end of the day, this is about transparency. It's about making sure our constituents can easily tune in and see what we're doing. And I said this in committee, but I'll never forget when I came down here in third grade and I stood right up there at behind that glass and looked down on the House chamber. I've never forgotten that. And I want everybody to be able to come down here and watch us in person, but everybody can't do that. Not every child in school is going to be able to do that. Not every adult is going to be able to do that. So we should try to bring the General Assembly to them. Let's make it as easy as possible for them to tune in and watch what they're doing. I hope you'll support this bill, and I'll stand for any questions. Thank you.
What purpose, gentlemen from Lincoln, Representative Sane Rice?
To speak on the bill.
Gentlemen's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to say, when we had a good vote in rules, and we'll revisit real quick what I said in rules. I said this is kind of like the real world. The true story of 120 strangers picked to live in a house, to work together, and have their lives taped to find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real. What it will allow us to do will, what Representative Hall stated, bring what happens in this house to the people of North Carolina. It is important, the smallest of bills, the largest of bills, and everything in between, it's important that they know what goes on in their state government. This bill will provide that transparency. I do want to take the opportunity to thank the Speaker and Representative Hall both for working on this. The Speaker has endorsed this wholeheartedly, also thinks it's a good idea. I think from talking to most of you all, you believe the same as we do. So, it will, as we've had the ice cream bill and last week had the recess bill, as our fourth grade students learn about North Carolina state government, it gives them an opportunity in the classroom to see what's happening and to better understand it if they can't make that trip up here. But again, it is something that I think has been long overdue for our state, and I'm proud to support it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For our purpose, the gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones Rice.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, one other aspect of this bill I want you to think about, what an awesome teaching tool we'll be putting in our children's hands. Their government right in their classrooms. So I just want to bring that to your attention. My colleagues have hit on the transparency, which is great, but I just think this will be an awesome, awesome tool for our students to be able to tune in and see their government at work.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 218 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Zachary, did the gentleman intend to be the only no vote? Okay. Representative Ball, wish to record on this vote? Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 115 have voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. House Bill 218 passes second reading and will without objection. You're at third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Cumberland? Representative Floyd Rise.
Mr. Speaker, I have two amendments.
Gentleman is going to be recognized to send those first. Let's take the first one. Gentleman from Cumberland is recognized to send forth Amendment ABH 3, Version 1. The clerk will read.
Representative Floyd moves to amend the bill on page 2, lines 2 and 3 by deleting the phrase April 2020.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, this is a very simple amendment where you see April the 15th, dash fracking 15 and inserting the number 20.
What purpose of the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall Rice?
Members, I support. Members, I support Representative Floyd's amendment in committee. He let us know that April 15th is a bad day of the year because that's, of course, the day, the date that taxes are due. And so I'm glad to hear about his aversion to taxes. I hope he'll support our plans in the future to lower them. Please support the amendment.
Question for the House. Passage of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Floyd. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Do the following members wish to record? Representative Adams, Representative Henson, Representative Farmer Butterfield. There you go. Clerk lock machine record the vote. 114 having voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Representative Floyd's recognized to send forth the additional amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Floyd moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 35 by rewriting the lines to read.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, this is a technical correction by the staff. This is the House bill, and it has Senate inserted, and they just want to strike the word Senate.
Jeff from Caldwell, Representative Hall is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I also support this particular amendment. It brings up something I meant to say just a minute ago. What this does, it takes out any reference to the clerk of the Senate. But, you know, this is one of those rare bills that I want to go over to the Senate, and I want it to be amended. I want them amended to make the Senate sessions be broadcast as well. So I hope you'll support this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A2, sent forward by Representative Floyd. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Brotman, gentlemen, wish to vote on this? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 115 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment's adopted. Now back on the bill as amended. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 218 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Farmer Butterfield, you want to vote on that? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. House Bill 218, having passed its third reading, is ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. Members, I've spoken with the sponsors of this bill, as well as with the clerk, and the chair is directing that the clerk work to undertake what we can do already as far as the broadcast of the sessions, because this is a bill that would require passage by the other chamber as well. But chair believes, particularly given the vote today, that that's something that this House is interested in. So we're going to go ahead and move forward with getting that done even before the bill comes into law. We'll go back up to the calendar. We're going to go back up to House Bill 73. I see the members who are handling that bill back in their seats. The clerk will read. Actually, it has been read. The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, and members of the House, House Bill 73 is one of the bills that came out of the school safety committee work. As you know, the committee went from one end of the state to the other end of the state during the interim and heard from everyone, from parents and students and law enforcement officers, teachers, administrative folks in the school, parents, trying to see just what we could do to make their schools just a little bit safer. And I want to start by saying, as I did earlier, I guess last year when we ran some bills through also, is that us doing this doesn't mean our schools are not safe. Us doing this just means we're taking that added effort to work with our schools throughout the state to find out what is it we can do from our position to just make those schools safer. One of the things we came out and determined was part of that is what is the education that our kids are getting relative to this. And so what this bill would do, it basically takes something that is a voluntary education and makes it a mandatory education and tells the Board of Education that they must incorporate character education instruction into the curriculum on courage, good judgment, integrity, kindness, perseverance, respect, responsibility, self-discipline, respect for school personnel, responsibility for school safety, service to others, and good citizenship, something that perhaps my generation didn't fully pass down to our kids and our grandkids. So I hope that you could support this bill. Mr. Speaker, I'll stand for any questions.
What purpose does the member from Pitt, Representative Smith, arise?
Thank you. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Would the member from Gaston yield to the member from Pitt?
I'd be honored, Mr. Speaker.
Yields.
My question is, does this have anything, do you have the outline and pacing to unpack this document so that our teachers will know how to incorporate this into their sessions or trainings?
I think if I understand your question, correct me if I'm wrong, I can hardly hear you, but are you saying, do I have a defined methodology on how this will be taught in the classroom?
Yes, sir.
No, ma'am, I do not. I'm leaving that up to professionals.
Follow up.
Would the gentleman yield to an additional question?
I'd also be honored again.
He yields.
Is there a required number of hours?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Speaker, can I now speak to the bill?
The lady has the floor and may debate the bill.
Thank you so much. Overall, I think that it could be a good bill, but we have to make sure we continue to keep our teachers in mind. And when speaking with several of the teachers from my area, some of the concerns that were raised was if we don't have an outline for the pacing and out, for unpacking this, that there's going to be some challenges. They also ask, how is this going to be legislated? Because they're already having classes like DARE that they bring in, and they're doing a lot of the same type of teaching. And so if we don't have specifics within our bill, then it's just something that's sitting on the shelf. Thank you so much.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 73 on its second reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 113 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative, House Bill 73 has passed its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
What purpose does a gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, arise?
Pass bill sponsor question.
Would the gentleman from Gaston yield to the gentleman from Cabarrus?
Certainly, Mr. Speaker.
Yields.
Thank you, Representative Torbett. On this number 3, service to others, I think that's a good idea. We do need to teach people that it's good to be in service to others. I'm wondering about, in implementation, would participation in actual programs of going out and doing service be voluntary or mandatory on the students?
Voluntary.
Okay, thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Bill 73 on its third reading. Those favoring passage will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. With 113 having voted in the affirmative and 2 in the negative, House Bill 73 has passed its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. House Bill 75, the clerk will read.
Representatives Torbett, Lewis, Dobson, and Bell, House Bill 75, a bill to be entitled an act directing the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Public Instruction to study the development of mental health screening process for children in North Carolina school public schools, as recommended by the House Select Committee on School Safety. General Assembly of North Carolina next.
The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the House, ladies and gentlemen, another outcome from the Committee on School Safety, and this one's a hard one. This one's a really, really hard one. And I wish at the bottom of my heart that we wouldn't even have to have this discussion. But we do. I think it's overdue. So we're starting. School Mental Health Screening Bill, House Bill 75, does not mandate the screening for mental health of students. What it simply says is that we're going to take a real hard look at it by having a committee or a group better define, a group of professionals better define mental health. And some of the things it's going to do is it's going to look at whether the state, first and foremost, should actually require a mental health screen, what mental health professionals should conduct a screen, what behaviors or mental health diagnosis a screen should be targeted to identify, the format of a screen, whether a screen should be uniform throughout the state or whether there should be general guidelines that are implemented by each local administrative unit, creation of a policy to ensure that children identified as at risk by the screen receive the treatment they need, creation of a policy regulating access to confidential health information generated by the screen, the optimal age to implement a screen, whether, of course, parents can opt out of a screen, whether professionals conducting the screen should be immune from lawsuits, and best practices in other states that perform a screen, and any other issues the department deems necessary in looking into this proposed mental health screening study. The effort here is to hopes to contact or determine if a child has issues that are fixable, for example. Do you know, as many of you, I feel like you know, that right now each child before they go into the school has a health assessment. At what, you know, at the first entry into the system have a health assessment. They look at their eyes. Why? They want to make sure they can see clearly so they can be best educated. They do hearing tests and examinations to make sure they can hear the teacher, for example, so they can be best educated. So what this simply is looking to see if we need to go to that next step and implement some type of mental health screening so they can be best educated and hopefully prevent them from falling into a state where they might choose to inflict harm on themselves or others. And I hope you can support the bill.
What purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Horner, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor and may debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, as Representative Torbett said, the School Safety Committee traveled, or as you may know, traveled the state. We listened to a lot of folks. We listened to experts in mental health. We listened to experts in school safety or SROs. We listened to the kids. We all actually know that mental health factors are not just safety factors. They're education factors. They're social factors. They're adjustment factors. And they're factors that will impact our kids as they move on into the workforce. I'd like to think that we will make decisions based on data rather than make decisions and go try to find data to support them. But in order to make decisions based on data, we need the data. This bill affords us the opportunity to identify specifically what data we need, who should accrue that data, how should it be analyzed, and therefore allow us the opportunity to make good, well-informed decisions. So I ask you to support the bill. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Black, arise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question, please. Several questions, sorry.
Would the gentleman from Gaston yield to a question from the lady from Durham?
And several questions, Mr. Speaker.
We will run all the questions to the chair, but the lady has the floor, may propound her inquiry.
Okay, thank you very much. So my first question is this. This would not require all children to be screened, but would be talking about children who you believe would have some reason to be screened.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to give you an answer that you're probably not going to like, but
okay.
It's very simply is I can't tell you what it's going to require because a group of experts will make those determinations in studying the process. So they may determine that we're going to screen all children at some level, or they may determine that there'll be something that will spark an interest in a child that child needs some special attention, we'll say, to help that child. So I don't know the answer to your question, but I think the professionals can come up with that solution.
Follow up.
Will the gentleman yield to an additional question?
Absolutely, Mr. Speaker.
He yields.
Well, then my next two, maybe three comments, you may not be able to answer as well, but should be considered as if we move forward. The next one would be, are parents allowed to opt out of the screening?
If I can, Mr. Speaker. One of the bullet points I actually mentioned was that will be one of the exercises that the group of, we'll say professionals for lack of a better term, that will make some of these findings and determinations will do is whether parents can opt out of a screen.
Okay, thank you. A follow-up?
Would the gentleman yield to an additional question?
Absolutely, Mr. Speaker.
He yields.
Thank you. If a child is found to need some type of therapy, who will pay for that therapy for the child and or the family?
I can't answer that, but one thing we want to make certain is that, also one of the bullet points, let me find it just for a second, and it's crucial that this occur. Hang on one second. Creation of a policy to ensure that children identified as at risk by the screen receive the treatment they need. So we're hoping that what you're asking is exactly one of the outcomes that this group would make that or make as a have as a finding.
And my last, Mr. Chair.
The gentleman yields.
Yes, ma'am.
Is related to, and perhaps this is for the study commission as well, is related to how information might be shared. For example, would it be shared with law enforcement officers or whatever? So they perhaps these are comments I can get to you later that can be discussed by the committee should this bill go forward.
Yes, ma'am. I assure you all the information will be legally done and always with the best interest of the child.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, arise?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor. May debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, some of you know that my greatest interest really since being here has been working on the opioid epidemic. I will tell you this, and not to belabor the point, that 40% of the individuals who succumb to addiction or succumb to being overdosed actually start out with a mental illness. Identifying these individuals at an early age is critical if we're going to actually combat the opioid epidemic. This is actually just a study bill. This is looking at criteria to help identify things earlier, and I would urge your support.
What purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to address the bill.
The gentleman has the floor, and may he debate the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, today, or this week, is National School Social Worker Week. And today is Social Work Advocacy Day. We had over 600 social workers that were here at the legislature today. Hopefully they visited many of you. I spent 16 years working in schools as a social worker in North Carolina, and when I first got here, social workers' duties were largely relegated to truancy and child abuse cases. We were told explicitly by school districts that it was not the job of the school district to take on mental health challenges. As social workers, that was a little disappointing because we saw the way that mental health challenges were impacting students' ability to receive an education. And so I'm very proud to stand in a body that now is recognizing that mental health plays a full role in public education and that we will take on the opportunity as a state to study what type of mental health screenings should happen in the state of North Carolina. I believe that this will be an outstanding opportunity for our children and all of our schools. I appreciate the bill sponsors bringing it forward and look forward to supporting the bill.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask the sponsor a question.
Would the gentleman from Gaston yield to the lady from Durham?
Yeah, yes, Mr. Speaker.
He yields.
Just kidding.
Thank you, Representative Torbett. Just out of curiosity, does any other state have this type of legislation that you've seen, or is there a model out there?
I don't have the answer to that. I didn't look, be very honest with you. What we did is that we kind of captured information from North Carolinians as we went across the state. I'm sure that if this group was formed, one of the most common sense thing would be go back and look, see what if and how other states had done it in an effort to not fully recreate the wheel. But it does, from what I can tell, would need to be a North Carolina-specific model.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, may I speak on the bill?
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you. I think the intent of this bill is excellent, and I applaud all the work that went into the School Safety Committee. Speaking as a former juvenile court judge, if we had juveniles come into court and a petition is filed, and the prosecutor would say, we want a mental health screening, we want a psychological report, most juvenile defense attorneys would say, oh, no, 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 let's wait and see if the petition is proved to be true and that they are adjudicated And then they are ordered to have a psychological evaluation and recommended services. So I just say that is in reference to many of our kids who are at the highest risk or have come into the court system. Usually family members' attorneys are hesitant to do anything of this type unless they are actually adjudicated into the system. So just for information. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman Rice,
speak on the bill?
Gentleman's recognized. Debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have to admit I have some mixed feelings about this. I think it's well-intended. And, you know, one thing that some may not understand is this is a study bill. Passing this bill will not establish any policy. It will establish a group who will study the matter and will come back with recommendations, and then there would be some kind of bill to establish policy later on. So I guess I'm going to vote for it because it is just that, a study bill, and we can see what comes out of that. But I will say I'd be cautious about what policy would be developed because I see a large potential for abuse that could arise out of this. So let's study it, but let's be careful what we enact from it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
I, too, applaud this bill and its intent. I really feel very strongly about child well-being. And I could simply say that having dealt with DSSs and a lot of situations, I'm reminded of a council or a committee report that I have begun to read but have not completed. And I think it was generated out of something within this body. It's called the Child Well-Being Transformation Council. And I believe that somewhere in the mix, should we decide to do this, that these other things that have been initiated by this body should be considered in the process so that we don't get it wrong. And I think that really, I say that too as I listen to Representative Pittman offer his suggestions regarding his misgivings about it. But the reality is we need to look at it very holistically and look at some of the work that has already been done by committees out of this body. And one of those, I think it came from one of the subcommittees on homelessness and child abuse and those kinds of things. So we shouldn't work in isolation. We should work come just together, inclusively, for all the data so that we can get it right. Thank you very much.
What purpose, lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham Rice?
To speak to the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Lady has floor to debate the bill.
Thank you. I am very satisfied with this coming forward, mostly because I served on the select committee with Representative Torbert. And as they went across the state, I didn't get to go everywhere, but I went into the mountains. I went into the northern part where his county was and other places. And I heard what people said that they wanted. I heard them express themselves, not just police officers, but parents, teachers, psychologists, and all the people in the community that were coming out to these meetings, they were saying the same thing, the same thing. And basically, what they have said is what he has put into the bill. So I stand in support of the bill and very much aware that his county, Gaston County, and I told this before, is one of the safest school districts in the state. And I heard them say that, and I was really overwhelmed by that. And I said, whatever you all are doing, I want to know what it is for CMS. And so I believe this is the beginning, as this study is to find out what they're doing and what other places are doing to make us have safer schools. Thank you.
For what purpose does gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Gentleman from Gaston, yield the gentleman from Wayne.
Be honored, Mr. Speaker.
In the midst of the study, and I do agree that this study is a good idea, but in the midst of the study, has there been any consideration as to what the disposition of the children that are being studied, what the disposition will be if there are findings? If you, for instance, you interview a student and they're found to have an issue, what will happen to that student in the midst of this study?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I can't answer that, but I'll give you an answer from as a grandfather. As a grandfather, two super grandsons. My hope is that they'll be treated with loving kindness and carefully helped to pull them out of whatever state they might be in, because I believe a lot of this stuff is repairable, fixable, if we catch it early enough. I think the problems are happening are from ones that we just perhaps aren't looking close enough or just simply don't want to provide that loving care. So if my answer to you would be, I don't know specifically, but I hope and trust it would be administered by a bunch of grandmas and grandpas. So,
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to make a statement regarding the bill.
Gentleman from Wayne is recognized to debate the bill.
In speaking in support of the bill, I do want to caution again that in conducting studies, we must make sure that the study participants are protected. We need to make sure, I mean, when you do research for doctoral purposes, you must have clearance and make sure that the individuals that are being studied are being protected. So I want to make sure that in this bill that we keep that in mind, that we put some provisions or consider putting provisions in this bill that will protect the students, and that their information, the information that's going to be disseminated from this bill, is going to be protected and the children will be protected. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise?
To speak on the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I will find myself supporting this bill and thank the bill sponsors and those who worked on it for bringing it forward. One thing that I would ask that this body to keep in mind, though, is that for someone who's worked daily with individuals who are wrestling with mental and behavioral health issues, is the insufficiency of the services that exist today. So at the moment in which we find and we begin to evaluate students in classrooms, we also have to recognize that the systems that are in place across the state of North Carolina today are insufficient to serve the populations that they're already serving, and thus we have to continue to have the conversation on how we reform that system in order to provide the services to the children who are in our schools.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, rise?
To bring forward an amendment.
Gentleman's recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Speciale moves to amend the bill on page 2, line 10, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think this is a great bill. I was on the study committee. I think we do need to look at what all of our options. But we need to remember what our main purpose, what the main purpose of government is, and that's to protect the rights of the citizens. And one of the rights is for parents to decide what happens to their children. So I'd like to change it to say, to look at what the procedures for parents to opt into the mental health screening. There's been a lot of misdiagnosis of children in school. I know some family members, okay, a family member who as a kindergarten child was diagnosed as being mentally slow, slow motor skills, was going to struggle in school his entire life. And as it turns out, he was on a roll. He never had problems in school. It was obvious it was a bad diagnosis. He took calculus, trigonometry, went on to get his bachelor's degree. Total misdiagnosis. Never had problems in school. Never was slow. Parents must always have the opportunity to make the decision as to what happens to their kids. If the school system says, well, we need to do this, I mean, if we decide that we want to do this and make this thing a part of the school system, parents still need to have the right to make that decision. By the day, we're taking away the rights of parents. We're taking away the rights of a lot of citizens. I'm asking you to stop and think about this. It's a simple thing to say the parents, let the parents, remember, what was the purpose of school? To teach kids to read and write. What's going on in the schools now? That we have tasked them with so much, they're teaching all kinds of stuff that they never were intended to teach in the beginning. And we're just not giving parents options, and then we're wondering why some of the kids are coming out of school the way they're coming out. Parents need to be involved. Parents need to be able to make these decisions. So all of this will do is make sure that whatever we come up with, that it's an opt-in, and not an opt-out. The problem with opt-outs is the parents have to know this is happening. They have to gather that information. With an opt-in, they must be informed, and they're able to make that decision. So I ask you to support this. It's a good bill, and I think with this amendment, it makes it even better. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
Speak on the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you. The gentleman was kind enough to come and share thoughts with me just early on for his preparation of the amendment. At that initial time, I said, I don't think I can be supportive because it seemed like it was coming in a very late moment, you know, at the 11th hour of the vote. But after hearing it explained and thinking through the process, I believe the current health assessment, you have to have parental sign-off anyway. So if that's the case, which I'm pretty certain it is, then parental sign-off would also be incorporated through any type of proposed mental health assessment that might be added. So I think that would be the time when the parent would opt in, so to speak, for that. So at this time, I don't think I have a problem for that being incorporated in the study. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose, gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, rise.
Speak on the amendment, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Yes, I would agree with my representative, my friendly representative from Craven, Representative Speciale. Give you a little backstory on that. I raised my sister's daughter when my sister died when her daughter was only 5 years old. She was assessed by the school system to need to be in special eds classes. My wife and I flat out refused that. Knowing that if she had proper tutelage, she would be able to proceed. And we did take her under our wing. We raised her, and we're happy to say she graduated high school without going to special needs classes. We need to keep this in the hands of the parents at all times. They ultimately have the say in what happens with their children. So I do support the amendment.
What purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to address the amendment.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you. I'm also happy to support the amendment in part because I want to make it clear that in social work and other mental health professions, we have an ethical standard that we do not provide any sort of mental health treatment to anyone unless they give consent to do so, with one exception, which is if that person is an imminent threat to themselves or others, in which case there is a legal process to go through to take custody of them and make sure they have adequate mental health treatment. But Representative Speciale's request is not only proper, but in line with what we do because of our belief in self-determination in the professions, we would never allow someone, we would never force someone to be in this without consent. And because they're minors, that would have to include consent from their parents. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Speciale. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Johnson on the floor. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, 1 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the bill as amended. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House. Passage of House Bill 75 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 75 passes second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
Gentlemen, I'm not coming next.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 75 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 75 having passed third reading, it's ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. House Bill 76, the clerk will read.
Representatives White, Torbett, Horn, and Elmore, House Bill 76, a bill to be entitled School Safety Omnibus, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Lady from Johnson, Representative White, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I have two amendments that I would like to share.
Would the lady like to move the amendments prior to debating the bill?
Please.
The chair will grant that request. Representative White, recognized to send forth amendment ABN 19, version 1. Clerk will read.
Representative White moves to amend the bill on page 6, line 37, by deleting the word possess and substituting the phrase may pose.
Ladies recognize to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is basically correcting a word that was caught. We had it may pose in the bill, but we left out the word may when we put it in the final PCS. So it's just actually the School Board Association realized that we had left it out, so they recommended it to us. So I support this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House, passage of Amendment A1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 111 having voted in the affirmative, one in the negative. The amendment is adopted. Ladies recognize, send forth the second amendment. Clerk will read.
President White moves to amend the bill on page 5, lines 33 to 35, rewriting those lines to read.
Lady from Johnson is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, this was a basically a technical correction. In writing the in the original House bill, we had we thought we had taken care of this, but in the PCS we kind of did not word it right. So anyway, basically we are assuring that general policies that would not be sensitive to the school, such as the just a general policy set forth by the threat assessment team, would be public record by general statute. But things like the schematic drawings of the school, which would serve as a safety tool when, and these will be things that I will mention in the bill, they do not need to be public record. So we have disability rights, and the School Board Association was very pleased with, and they collaborated, and we agreed on this amendment. So thank you for your consideration.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lock machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The amendment's adopted. The lady from Johnson is now recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The tragedy of Columbine, Sandy Hook, Parkland, Charlotte, and others brought the work of the North Carolina Safer School Center, the Governor's Task Force, and the House Select Committee on Safer Schools to center stage. I'd like to take a moment to thank DPI, DPS, Speaker Moore, Safer Schools Task Force, the House Select Committee members, Representative Torbett, Horn, and Elmore for making this bill and other related bills possible. Mental health issues, threats, risk factors brought immediate appropriations to LEAs in 2018. Today, we have the opportunity with the passage of this omnibus Safer Schools PCS to bring safer schools to North Carolina. The North Carolina School Board Association, county commissioners, sheriffs, the SBI, disability rights, and others have reviewed and submitted recommendations that are included, and it has passed unanimously through Education K-12 bipartisan unanimous vote. We have passed it through a bipartisan unanimous vote through the House rules. So today I would encourage you to think about the work that has been done by this House Select Committee for almost a year. As has been mentioned already for the other House Safer Schools bills that's been discussed today, we have gone across the state. We have listened to parents. We have listened to youth. We have listened to law enforcement, we have listened to county leaders, community leaders, and we have listened to the school system. And we believe this omnibus bill can be a legacy for all of us, and hopefully will not only be a legacy for us having done this, but the fact that we have got a safer school, a public schools, and we have also made our information available with the passage of this bill. We will make it available to non-public schools. These are the highlights of the bill. It will establish threat assessment teams and peer-to-peer support programs, comply with the county local school administrative unit state of emergency plan, ensure training standards and annual reporting for school resource officers, complete facility vulnerability assessments for its school buildings. We will be doing this by, one, continuing to have our Safer Schools meetings across the state through the task force, and there may be others here, I'm not sure about that yet. The Safer Schools Center will continue to exist in DPI, and they will be given the responsibility. We have given them 11 specific points. So instead of being a, for the last, since 2013, they've existed, and what they've done is create, pilot, investigate. But we, North Carolina, were so much further ahead than many states in April of 2018 when Parkland occurred, because North Carolina already had a plan that was funded by the North Carolina General Assembly, and it was called the Safer Schools Center, and it was the Safer Schools Task Force is the hands and the feet of the Safer Schools Center, and they had been meeting and working on some of these pilots that we're talking about today since 2013. To move forward, though, we need to give the Safer Schools Center more authority and more regulation. And that's what this bill, that's one of the factors in this bill, that we give them 11 specific points that they will be responsible for. It clarifies their duties and their powers. And I've mentioned most of the other things. I do want to just to talk about one situation that has raised a few questions in a couple of the committees. What does it mean by facility vulnerability assessments? This is basically a checklist that will be provided to each school administrator, and it will be their responsibility to form their team, and on an annual basis, it's their responsibility to go through their schools and look at things that have been put in place, look at things that are working, that are not working for the physical aspect of their school, and to report that annually to the Safer School Centers, where it will be reviewed, and they will receive help if they need help. I think I have given you enough. I think we have talked about this for a year. First of all, I applaud all of these House members of the Select Committee. Thank you for traveling with us, and I thank all those communities that had us. I was told by a very smart man in this body, don't go too far. Just shut up when you feel like you're ahead. I feel like I'm ahead. I'd appreciate your favorable vote for House 76 PCS.
Gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, is recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, for an amendment.
Gentleman is recognized to send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Torbett moves to amend the bill on page 9, line 23, by rewriting the line to read.
Gentleman is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, members of the House, if you look at the actual bill language and at the amendment language, this is as close to an actual technical correction and I believe I have ever seen in 9 years. On page 9 of the bill, on line 23, you will see a squiggly mark, 143B-93, capitalized A. Do you all see that? My amendment from staff changes that to squiggly line, 143B-931.1. And that is my amendment, Mr. Speaker. Hope everyone can support it.
For what purpose the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, should not her seat. For what purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise. For what purpose the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise.
This is on the bill, not the amendment, sir.
On the amendment? On the bill. The bill. Okay, let me ask this. How many members wish to debate the amendment? I see several lights. If a member wishes to debate the amendment, just stand up. On the amendment, the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, is second thoughts. All right. Seeing no further discussion or debate on the amendment, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A3, sent forward by Representative Torbett. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Mr. Clerk Pierce is here talking to the chair. Please show him as an aye. Is that correct, Mr. Pierce? As an aye. Representative Arp, Representative Terry, members wish to record. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 113 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The amendment is adopted. For what purpose does the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we can never be too cautious when it comes to the safety of our students. We have no dispensable students, I hope. We owe it to all of our students to provide a safe environment where they can learn without interference. The Safe School Task Force has done a good job. Several other task forces have done excellent jobs. We've been studying this for not just the last year and a half. We've been considering ways to be safe for many, many years. And North Carolina has been fortunate thus far. We've had some incidents. We've attempted to rectify those incidents. We've taken advice from unfortunate circumstances in other states and a couple even in our state. We have now buzz-ins at most of our schools. We have safe conditions where you really can't go in and sometimes get your own student without red tape. And I think that's good. We need to err on the side of caution. I'm going to support the bill, but I'll also submit to you that we've not quite gone far enough. We need to address the weaponry that may exist in the school. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative, she's away from her seat again. All right, we're going to come back. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
Send forth an amendment.
Ladies recognize, send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Ball moves to amend the bill on page 11, line 41, by rewriting that line to read.
Ladies recognize to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While Representative Torbett might call his amendment purely technical, I think this one is pretty technical. It comes to us in support from the School Board Association. It simply repeats language that is in the threat assessment team section on page 9, line 15, and repeats it on page 11, line 41, to ensure that our school's leadership are also protected when they're doing building vulnerability assessment activities. And I stand for any questions if people have them.
On the amendment, for what purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak to the amendment.
Ladies recognize to debate the amendment.
Representative Ball had discussed this with me, and I have run it through the legal team of my advisors and for the School Board Association, and we're all in favor of her amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Amendment A4. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The amendment's adopted. What purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
To send forth an amendment.
Please recognize, send forth an amendment. The clerk will read.
Representative Farmer Butterfield moves to amend the bill on page 11, line 2, by deleting the word disabilities and substituting the phrase disability cultural diversity.
Please recognize to debate the amendment.
My amendment to House Bill 76, page 11, line 2, would delete the word disabilities and substitute the phrase disabilities, common cultural diversity. I had talked with the Rules Chairman about this, and it was fine. And I also had talked to Representative White. I brought it up at the K-12 Education Committee. So I'd like to get favorable report or your vote. Thank you.
Debate on the amendment. What purpose? The lady from Johnson, Representative White Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Please recognize to debate the amendment.
Representative Farmer Butterfield did mention this to me, and I did talk with other sponsors of the bill. At this time, we feel like that cultural diversity is a part of the package already, and at this point, we would suggest that you not support this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate on the amendment.
Follow up.
Representative Farmer Butterfield recognized to debate the amendment a second time.
I'd like to say to you that when we are talking about cultural diversity, it not only includes my culture, but yours and any other race as well throughout the state of North Carolina. And I'd like to ask Representative White a question, please.
Does the lady from Johnson yield to the lady from Wilson?
Yes.
She yields?
Could you tell me exactly where it's covered in legislation? You said it's already covered. Where is it covered? My friend.
Representative Farm Butterfield, I cannot quote you the sponsors of the bill felt like that through the entire package of bills that are presented now and others that will be coming, that it was that it is covered. So I can't quote you the reference.
Can anyone
else? Does the lady wish to ask another question?
Yes, follow up.
And to whom is the question addressed?
Representative Talbot. Or any other primary sponsor.
Gentleman from Gaston, yield to the lady from Wilson.
It'll be a pleasure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Torbett, can you tell me where that's covered already?
No, ma'am. Not. There is nothing specifically addressed in the school safety bill. Typically, it's in other languages through DPI as far as diversity goes. I wish we would focus on when it comes to school safety, more on unity. Is what I would like to do, because it, of course, it covers everyone and every kid in every school. And I don't think that the diversity training is the topic we're trying to get at inside of school safety, more so than that's being covered. And what we're focusing on is the unity, where each person is trying to look after the next person. You know what I mean? So it's just, it's more of a collective positive note.
Well, I don't think you have to follow up.
Lady wish to ask another question of the gentleman from Gassens. The gentleman yield. He yields.
So, Representative Torbett, you're telling me that you can't tell me specifically where that is in DPI as it relates to their policies and procedures for school resource officers?
At this moment in time, I cannot, but I'll go back to my first rule. If I don't know, I'll tell you I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I will do is I will find out where it's being taught currently throughout the DPI process, and I will bring that back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Can I speak on the amendment, Mr. Speaker?
Absolutely. The ladies recognize to debate the amendment a second time.
Ladies and gentlemen, I ask that you support this amendment. When we are talking about cultural diversity, we are talking about multiculturalism. We are not talking about one particular group or race. We are recognizing, respecting, and acknowledging the value of all cultures and what they offer. Thank you.
Any further debate on the amendment? If members wish to debate the amendment, please stand. There's a couple of lights. Seeing none, the question for the House, the adoption of Amendment A5, sent forward by Representative Farmer Butterfield. Those in favor, vote aye. Those opposed, vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk Light Machine record the vote. 54 having voted in the affirmative. 57 in the negative. The amendment is not adopted. For what purpose, gentlemen from Scotland? Representative Pierce, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Send forth amendment.
Gentleman is recognized to send forth the amendment. The chair has reviewed the amendment, has spoken with the member, has advised the member that the amendment would not be germane to the bill as it changes the title of the bill. However, the chair will grant some leniency and allow the gentleman to debate the bill on second reading, and he may make some comments about why he would have liked his amendment, and the chair will grant a little latitude on that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank all of you have before you the amendment that I set forth. I just thought, I've traveled the state also with this committee, Safe Schools Committee, and in passing House Bill 73, 75, and it appears that 76 is going to pass. I just got an article, Mr. Speaker, from the NNO, March 5th, 2019. Crime down in North Carolina school, but gun possession increases on campus. If we're going to have a serious conversation, ladies and gentlemen, about youth, our youth, gun violence is something we should be talking about. In my community, like your communities, a lot of our young people are selling a lot of their differences with handguns. And we all know that every time we pick up our newspapers, that's what we're reading about. And looking at the amendment that I sent forth, it would look at ways in which we could look at the availabilities of guns to juveniles, gun violence among juveniles in North Carolina, look at other programs across the state and the country that deals with gun violence with our young people. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for what you allowed me, but I just think if we're going to have a real serious conversation, we do need to talk about youth gun violence and how it's affecting our youth, our communities, and the trauma that it's putting on a lot of our young people in school. We used to settle our differences, many of us, with our fists, but now the weapon of choice is a handgun for far too many of our youth in our communities. If we're going to have a serious conversation, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't include this, I don't know where we're going to really go, but I think we need to have a conversation about that and make it a part of our study commission to look at that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, for allowing me that opportunity, and I respect what you shared with me on that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't have a great deal of problems with this bill, but I do have one specific problem. The first incident appears on page 5, line 41C, which refers to LME MCOs, and then back on page 9, line 45, where it provides that school superintendents or their designees shall refer any child that's identified as needing help to the LME MCOs. If that child is Medicaid eligible or is uninsured, I would have no problem with that. But LME MCOs, it's not at all appropriate for a child who has private sector insurance to be referred to an LME MCO. Plus, that would add a significant financial burden to our already strapped LME MCOs. So I have notified the department that I need some help with an amendment to fix this. And I would just ask the speaker to delay third reading until we get this issue settled.
For what purpose, gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Inquiry to the chair.
Gentleman's recognized for inquiry to the chair.
Sorry, sir, I'm a little confused. I thought we were supposed to be debating Representative Pierce's amendment.
We did not. The chair ruled the amendment not germane to the bill, so we did not do that. Then the gentleman was permitted to simply debate on second reading on the bill.
Okay, sorry, I missed that.
Further discussion, further debate on the bill. If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 76 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk lot machine record the vote. 112 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. House Bill 76 passes second reading and will remain on the calendar. House Joint Resolution 253. The clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Joint Resolution 253, a joint resolution confirming the appointment of James C. Gillen to the North Carolina Industrial Commission. The House resolved, Senate concur.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, House Joint Resolution 253 that is before you is confirming an appointment that Governor Cooper has made to a vacant seat in the on the North Carolina Industrial Commission. I can state for the record that my office, as well as the Rules Committee, have reviewed the qualifications of this gentleman and find him well qualified to serve, and therefore I would respectfully ask members to vote aye on this joint resolution and to confirm Mr. James C. Gillen as a commissioner on the North Carolina Industrial Commission. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 253 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representatives White and Insko are in a conversation. Representative Insko, how does the lady wish to record? Insko, aye. Representative Warren, is the gentleman on the floor? Clerk White machine record the vote. 113, having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. House Joint Resolution 253 passes a second reading and will without objection. You read third time.
The House resolved, Senate concur.
Question for the House, passage of House Joint Resolution 253 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 253, having passed its third reading, is ordered sent to the Senate. House Joint Resolution 255, the clerk will read.
Representative Lewis, House Joint Resolution 255, a joint resolution confirming the appointment of Lewis A. Bledsoe III as a Special Superior Court Judge. The House resolved, the Senate concur.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized to debate resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, House Joint Resolution 255 confirms Governor Cooper's appointment of Judge Lewis A. Bledsoe III as a Special Superior Court Judge. It would be fair to say that this is actually a reappointment, that Judge Bledsoe has been serving with distinction on the North Carolina Business Court since 2014. And with that, I would respectfully ask members to vote aye and to confirm this well-qualified nominee. I will state for the record that the governor's office has submitted all forms and as required, and that this gentleman is well qualified for this judgeship.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 255 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Farmer Butterfield, Representative Smith, the lady may wish to vote on this.
I've already voted.
Candy Smith, aye. Representative Montgomery, wish to record. Representative Bowles, wish to record. Clerk Lock Machine, record the vote. 114, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Joint Resolution 255 passes second reading and will without objection. Be read a third time.
The House resolved, Senate concur.
Question for the House, passage of House Joint Resolution 255 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Joint Resolution 255, having passed third reading, will be sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 77, the clerk will read.
Senators Sawyer, Ballard, and Jackson, House Bill 77, the bill to be entitled an act to extend the deadline to apply for the Hurricane Florence Agriculture Disaster Program of 2018 for certain counties that received a presidential or secretary of disaster declaration for result of Hurricane Michael after the original deadline. General Senator North Carolina and act.
What purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise? What purpose, the lady from Iredell, Representative Turner, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak on the bill.
Please recognize the debate the bill.
We've been very responsive to the agricultural disaster programs as a result of the hurricanes. Recently, Iredell and Wilkes counties were added to the disaster list, and so this is just a bill to extend the time for filing And so it gives us 10 days after the enactment of this bill for our farmers to file for crop loss. And thank you for your support.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, rise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
I just want to add that what we're doing here is completely consistent with what we've done previously. The disaster relief declarations here came in really rather late, and therefore we're opening up just for the purpose of catching the additional counties. I appreciate the sponsors of the bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 77 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. I'll wait on you. You're fine. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 114 have voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Bill 77 passes at second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Bill 77 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 77, having passed third reading, is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor. Introductions of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representative Torbett, House Bill 267, requires safety helmets under 21.
Transportation and favorable rules.
Representatives Brody and Ray, House Bill 268, disapproves certain on-site wastewater rules.
Regulatory reform and favorable health and favorable rules.
Representatives White, Dobson, Lambert, and Black, House Bill 269, enact North Carolina Caregivers Act.
Health and favorable rules.
Representatives Willingham, Goodwin, and Hanek, House Bill 270, Edgecombe County College funds for training center.
Education community colleges, if favorable education, excuse me, appropriations education, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives Cunningham, Fisher, Terry, and Von Hafen, House Bill 271, NC, adopt equal rights amendment.
Judiciary, if favorable rules.
Representatives Jones, Sane, Bell, Destin Hall, House Bill 272, Lumbee Indian Cultural Center site.
Rules.
Representatives Rydell, Ross, Hollister, and Cunningham, House Bill 273, add members to NC Training Standards Commission.
State and local government, if favorable rules.
Representatives Grange, Potts, and White, House Bill 274, child abuse and neglect, military affiliation.
Homeland Security, Military, and Veterans Affairs, if favorable judiciary, if favorable rules.
Representatives Hollister, Quick, Faircloth, and Clemens, House Bill 275, Career and Technical Education Pilot for Guilford County Schools.
Education K-12, if favorable finance, if favorable appropriations education, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representatives Rydell, Fraley, Clemens, and Ross, House Bill 276, modify low performing school definition.
Education K-12, the favorable rules.
Representatives Kyle Hall, Sane, Lawrence, and Henson, House Bill 277, small business income tax relief.
Commerce, the favorable finance, the favorable rules. Messages from the Senate, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 68, a bill to be entitled an act to amend the percentage of non-betterment costs paid by municipalities for relocating water and sewer lines.
Transportation, if favorable, energy and public utilities, if favorable, rules. Members, we have reached the conclusion of our business today. For your planning purposes, tomorrow session will... session will be at 11 a.m. So committee chairs may have meetings up until that point. For what purpose does the gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, rise?
For an announcement.
Gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are about 20-some of us who served as county commissioners before coming to this body. There's about 7 or 8 of those in the Senate. So we have a county caucus. If you would, I'm making this announcement on behalf of Representative Carney and myself, who chair the House version of that. So we're going to meet. Our first time is going to be tomorrow. We're going to meet at 7:30 a.m. in 1425. That's 1425, 7:30 a.m. We have a fairly short but important agenda, and hope you guys will join us in the morning, 7:30. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
The full Appropriations Committee will meet in the morning at 8:30 in room 643 with the Senate Appropriations Committee to hear from the governor's budget staff on his recommended budget. Please bring your budget book with you, which are in the mailroom if you haven't received them. We will be going through that in the morning. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Hastings, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Mr. Speaker, my co-chairman and I, Representative Hardister, just wanted to clarify that Appropriations Capital will meet 15 minutes after session in 415 LOB.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Torbett, rise?
For a brief moment of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Mr. Speaker, just over a little bit over a year ago, you appointed a school safety committee, and I want to thank you for your leadership and thank everyone in here. We've carried a lot of water in an effort to provide additional safety for our children and our teachers and our loved ones in the school district. I want to personally thank each and every one of you for your solid vote of support on the bills that have come out so far from that committee. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. I don't know that we've solved everything, but it's not for want of trying. So thank you for your support, and thank you, Mr. Speaker, for your leadership.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Gaston, Representative Bumgarner Rice?
To create some extra paperwork for the staff. I'm not sure if that's a valid purpose, but we'll give it a shot. Okay. I want to change my vote on Bill 114 from yes to no.
Gentleman's asking on House Bill 114 to be recorded as having voted no. So ordered. For what purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
For an announcement.
Ladies recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to let everyone know that we, the House and Senate, are reestablishing the Joint Legislative Life Science Caucus. We will be a think tank to develop legislative knowledge about science, in relationship to science issues, and we would love for any of you that are interested in that to come and join us. We have not set a date yet. We're still an organization, but I would, you know, just wanted to let you know we are going to reestablish that Life Science Caucus.
For what purpose the lady from Guilford, Representative Clemens, rise?
Point of privilege.
Ladies recognized, speak to a point of personal privilege.
My very fabulous seatmate crossed into her fourth decade this weekend, and I wanted to wish her a happy birthday.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, rise?
I just wanted to ask a clarification of the rules of the House.
Gentleman's recognized.
Are we allowed to talk about the age of a person's birthday? I thought that was against the rules.
We're allowed to do that, except we're, I don't see Representative Cleveland here. Our numbers don't go that high. So. For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman's recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of weeks ago, my seatmate took pleasure in talking about my birthday, and now it's time for me to get back to sort of pay him back for what he did to me. Chuck McGrady, we all know, think fondly of him. He's been around a good while. He and I came in together back, 9, 10 years, something like that. And we sat way back there in the back, and we knew we had to earn our way to move up a seat or two. And we were both kind of quiet for a few days trying to get to know one another. And as time went on, we've come to be very, very close friends. And we've worked our way back to where we're seatmates again. And Chuck's having a birthday. And I thought you might want to know a little more about him than you've seen here on the floor. His first job after law school was to teach law school. I didn't hear of any practice in there at any time. That's unusual, you know, for you to get your degree and turn right around and become a teacher. But he did that. Then he clerked for a judge. I don't know whether he got fired from teaching or not, but he clerked for a judge and then started litigation, got into litigation. And we know what that means. Us non-lawyers don't know what it is, but we know what it means. You talk a lot. After arguing for a living, he retired and he bought a summer camp where he acted as owner and director for a boys' camp. And it was called Camp Falling Creek, Christian Boys Summer Camp. And I understand he was very well known as the professional in managing summer camps. And he has since sold that camp and came down here to be a legislator. I assume that's moving up in the world. I'm not sure. He's interested in working with others, mentoring and advocating and learning how to play nicely in the sandbox. He loves hiking and camping. I'm sure there are a lot of camp director stories that he could tell us. Going back to my days in the Boy Scouts over at Crabtree Creek, summer camp was quite an adventure, and I sort of felt sorry for some of those folks running that camp. But I expect Chuck probably kept pretty good control over his. He's an Atlanta Braves fan. He loves the outdoors, and he is the one and only Republican to be the National Sierra Club president. I guess that's why. I guess that's why when Chuck starts talking, you've noticed he sort of scratches his head and he leans a little bit to the left. Just a little bit. A friend of his told me he, in his Sierra Club chair that he held, he was known as the Green Elephant. He recently was hiking and blew out his hiking boot, similar to what Zion did in the Duke Carolina game. And that sort of tells us that Chuck has probably some of the same athletic prowess that Zion has. Chuck, we love you, and happy birthday, buddy.
Yeah. I enjoyed that.
What purpose does the gentleman from Northampton, Representative Ray, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The North Carolina Legislative Sportsman Caucus is organized and ready for this biennium.
Yep. For what purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
For a point of personal privilege, please.
Ladies recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had the pleasure today to go to the Capitol to hear a school group of students sing at the Capitol today, and with the acoustics and everything, it was wonderful. Today, this month is the Music in Our Schools Month, 2019, concerts at the Capitol, and we had Rockingham County and Randolph County today, and if you get a chance to go, it's going to be all this month, on Wednesdays from 12 until 1, and it's wonderful if you can go and support these students. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's already been said, but I wanted to repeat it. Today is the birthday of my seatmate. I won't go into all his hobbies, but they're vast. But I do know that he chairs the one committee that will make your dreams come true or break them all in the same day. So happy birthday, Representative Lewis. Thank you.
Further notices and announcements. For my purpose, gentleman from Guilford, Representative Faircloth, rise.
For a point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We recently got word that a soldier unaccounted for from the Korean War, he'd been lost since the Korean War and his body was never found. A program called the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency, DPAA, announced that Army Private Winfred L. Reynolds, 20, of High Point, North Carolina, killed during the Korean War, was accounted for on January 16, 2019. In April 1951, Reynolds was a member of Medical Company 32nd Infantry Regiment, 7th Infantry Division, and was attached to 2nd Platoon Company C, 1st Battalion, 32nd Infantry Regiment, near Hwachon Reservoir, South Korea. He was killed on April 26, 1951, while caring for wounded soldiers. Because of ongoing fighting in the area, Reynolds' remains were unable to be recovered. In 2017, the Ministry of National Defense Agency for Killed in Action Recovery and Identification, which is a South Korean organization with the same mission as the American DPAA organization, searched in the vicinity of where Reynolds was killed and recovered possible OCS, I think that's right production, material. The remains were taken to the Macquarie Laboratory, where it was determined the remains were likely of European descent. They were subsequently sent to the DPAA laboratory for analysis. To identify Reynolds' remains, scientists from the DPAA and the Armed Forces Medical Examiner System used new DNA analysis and found that it was indeed a match for this young man. Today, there are 7,070 Americans that remain unaccounted for from the Korean War. Using modern technology, identifications continue to be made from remains that were previously returned by North Korean officials or recovered from North Korea by American recovery teams. Reynolds' name is recorded on the courts of the missing at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific in Honolulu, along with the others who are missing from the Korean War. A rosette will be placed next to his name to indicate that he has now been accounted for. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Faircloth. Two announcements that were made. If the two caucuses that were announced, Representative Ray, could the gentleman advise who the leadership is of that caucus? We just need that on the record, and I'll come back to the same for Representative White in a moment.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah, Senator John Alexander, Jr. on the Senate side, Representative Larry Yarbrough, and Representative Michael Ray.
Thank you, sir. Representative White, the lady announced the formation of a caucus. Can the lady announce the leadership of that caucus? It's we need to do that on the record anytime a new caucus is formed.
Yes, sir. Representative Robert Reeves. I will represent the Democrat side. I will represent the Republican side. Senator Paul Newton will represent the Republicans in the Senate, and Senator Mike Woodard would represent the Democrats in the Senate. But it's a caucus, so we're all together. It just has to be two of each.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am. Any further notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene on Thursday, March the 7th at 11 o'clock a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Brisson, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 7th at 11 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Stand adjourned.
Representative Hardister and Hastings for the Appropriations Capital Committee, House Bill 241, Education Bond Act of 2019, favorable and re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 241, Education Bond Act of 2019, is referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Lewis for the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Bill 241, Education Bond Act of 2019, favorable. House Bill 241, Education Bond Act of 2019, will be placed on the calendar of March 13th.